Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In these last Sundays of Easter, we look forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and it is of the Holy Spirit that our Lord Jesus speaks this morning from John chapter 16. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Let us pray. O God, the Holy Spirit, what a powerful task you have at hand to help us see the real problem in our world as a problem of sin and the problem of evil, a mystery which cannot be fully understood. A mystery, though, that is overpowered by a greater one, the mystery of salvation and of the cross. Jesus gives us his righteousness. And at the end, Lord, we are comforted in knowing that justice will be served. Jesus, who pays for our sins, who punishes Satan and all his angels, casting them into the lake of everlasting fire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, for me personally, the stretch of Yonge Street, where the horrific van attack took place on Monday, killing 10, wounding 14 or so, wasn't just a place, not just a stretch that's 13 kilometers away from where our church is along Finch as the crow flies, a dot in a map. I knew it as a place near where I would take Isaac to the Canadian Legion nearby a few times a year for many of the cadet activities that were based out of that place. In the building near Mel Lastman Square, I spent more than a few hours watching some swim meet competitions. And when Isaac became more independent, he would take the subway home from there, from Mel Lastman Square. This place will also become the starting point for my sister-in-law, Allison, to run the Good Life Fitness Half Marathon next Sunday. I've walked these streets, and I've done so again in my mind since Monday. And like others, I've reflected upon what this horrific event means. It is clear that we are entering by greater degrees all the time into the mystery of evil and what unbelief brings. For it was hopelessness, fear, and despair, an unholy trinity of unbelief which powered that van on Monday. What a tragic loss of life. The world tries to make sense of this tragedy, looking for mental illness, maybe a corrupted DNA, or some bad upbringing, or something that can be latched onto. But about dismissing these as possible factors, along with 101 others, our Christian faith, in the words of my pastoral care companion, uncovers the real reason, the real thing behind it all. It says there, as I was looking for prayers, victims of violence have had a physical encounter with evil and the powers of darkness. There is no making sense of a tragedy, as so many columnists tried to do. Even Michael Taube, who was once a speechwriter for former Prime Minister Stephen Harper, and now he's a columnist. He writes on an online newspaper. He desperately wanted to find some sense of the tragedy. But there is no making sense of evil. Such is the mystery of darkness, which may only be overcome by divine light. For Jesus is the light of the world. The Holy Spirit radiates light, and most powerfully, and we sang about God, the Holy Ghost, as light and as a fire in our hymn today. The Holy Spirit radiates light and powerfully, and he descends at Pentecost in tongues of fire and rests upon the apostles. Likewise is the voice of the Lord, the Almighty, to flash forth flames of fire, as it says in Psalm 29. Our God is a God of light and of fire, and this mystery of holiness overcomes the mystery of evil. Our God is a consuming fire. In particular, God, the Holy Spirit, burns away the devil's distractions to reveal evil for what it is. He convicts the world of sin, our own sin, and sin in the lives of others. Evil, he unmasks behind all the things it tries to hide behind, whatever the external thing might be, a specific cause, a mental illness, but behind it all is evil in its sheer raw form. Jesus names the root sin concerning sin because they do not believe in me. Unbelief and evil, they walk hand in hand. Back in 1971, when Canada and other Western powers were still only in the initial stages of secularization, John Lennon was singing his song, Imagine, to the top of the charts. He's saying, imagine that there is no heaven, imagine no hell below us, and no religion too. And now we have no longer to imagine what it is like live no religion type of world, since such a world is becoming the observable reality. But the peace, joy, and unity that Lenin and countless others thought would come with the no religion philosophy and living for today, it never came. The Holy Spirit desires to give the world a spiritual sensitivity, to have a vision that can see evil and holiness, and then they're not distracted. The light comes most powerfully in the righteousness of Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus says, he will convict the world of righteousness. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, lays bare evil for what it is, so that the evil cannot be hiding behind something else, but is laid bare. Likewise, the Holy Spirit comes and reveals to us what true righteousness is. What an important word in the New Testament, the righteousness of God. The righteousness of Christ is the essence of holiness. The Holy Spirit works through word and sacrament so we understand the salvific work of Christ's death upon the cross. This work is righteousness. This work is true holiness. This work is really love. And it is only by bringing the love of Christ by word and deed to individuals and communities will hatred and works of evil be driven out. It is only by love, and the greatest kind of love is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, sacrificial love. The Christian holding the cross before him drives out evil, for it is by means of the cross that Satan is judged He is defeated. He is destroyed. When Jesus died upon the cross, incredible and powerful things happened. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. And the tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city with him. And they appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Sin, death, and the devil are defeated by the cross, are defeated by love. Now Jesus goes to the Father to sit at the right hand of the Father. He's active in the heavenly court, interceding for us that God's judgment will not fall upon us. Instead, the righteousness of Christ shall clothe us, protect us from God's consuming fire. But such protection is not given to Satan, his fallen angels, especially to those who resist the Holy Spirit and his manifold gifts, especially those who reject baptism or consider it as of little value or refuse to live in the baptism that they had received. For without baptism's protecting faith, bestowing strength, we cannot please God. We can do no good thing. Without protection, we burn. For the Lord Jesus shall say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the evil devil and his angels." And yes, from our perspective, judgment is yet to come. But from God's perspective, standing outside of physical time and from the insights from faith which God gives us, we say and believe with Jesus that the ruler of this world is judged. What a gift of faith does the Holy Spirit bestows upon us, such a great faith. We know that there is justice that comes. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. We will not be worrying over whether or not justice will be properly served in this case or in any other case for that matter. For we know that our Lord Jesus pays the price for those who put their trust in him. And we know that the Lord God comes with judgment on the devil and his unholy angels. We will, of course, seek that justice is served, that due legal process is observed, and that dangerous offenders are incarcerated. But if worldly systems fail, we will not be scandalized. We will not fall into complete despair. The justice of man might be thwarted, but God's justice is ever certain. For all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Will we be protected by the righteousness of Christ? It is open to all, even to the worst murderer. But without that justice, without that righteousness, we face the justice of God, our consuming fire. We live in a fallen world, which according to Christ's own prophecy is getting worse. Satan is here. He's pulling out all the stops because he knows that his time is short. Judgment day is so certain. It's like it's already accomplished in the mind of God and in the minds of the faithful. Yet we need not be complacent, nor need we waste time trying to make sense of it all. The evil darkness of Satan He does descend upon us. It is a mystery, but still no match for the light and the fire, the mystery of our triune God. Jesus promised his apostles the coming of the Holy Spirit, for indeed he has come. We can recognize evil, we can recognize the sins of unbelief, and yet we go forth not being afraid, for the Holy Spirit convicts us also concerning righteousness, which is the powerful righteousness of Christ, who intercedes in heaven on our behalf, who demonstrates his love and his forgiveness on the cross. And we know that justice is served and will be served. We will not be dazed, confused, shocked, or disorientated by world events, as so many are. Instead, we shall know that our God is with us. God the Holy Spirit lays bare all that is evil, convicts us of sin. God the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness and the powerful love of Jesus on the cross. He convicts us of judgment so that we know that all things will be according to God's will. The Holy Spirit comforts us in these things and embraces us. May he embrace us still. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep us in the true faith and the life everlasting. Amen.